on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Africa's southeastern country of Malawi, where Asimenye Simwaka is earning accolades in athletics and women's football. Joining us now from Blantyre, Malawi, to tell us more is Lamech Masina. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Indeed, Asimenye Simwaka is trending as a national star in both athletics and women's football here in Malawi. Simwaka took up athletics on a recent trip, but the 24-year-old sprinter has already captured the hearts and minds of sports officials. Nzee Magawa is Deputy General Secretary of the Athletics Association of Malawi.
She's a very good athlete who have done Malawi a pride by becoming the first athlete to qualify for African Championship. And she is also the first athlete to qualify for quarterfinals in the just-ended Olympic Games.
Simwaka is also the talk of town in women's football, following her outstanding performance in the semifinals of the recent COSAFA Women's Championship, in which Malawi lost to South Africa. Suzie Ngwira is president of the Women's Football Association of Malawi.
For now, she's got a place in the first 11 just to show how good she is. And she's proved herself even at the COSAFA tournament. She got the Player of the Match award, showing that she's a very good player, skilled, tactful, and she's also athletic, which is a plus to us.
Simwaka's journey to stardom sounds like a fairy tale. She says her interest in athletics started last year when she heard a radio announcement about an athletics event at Nzuzu Golf Club in northern Malawi. Simwaka had never trained in athletics or competed in any race, but she decided to go and try her luck. She says, right from the first whistle, I started with full speed. I even didn't know the rules of the game. I ran with all my might and left everyone behind. I went around the ground 5 times, non-stop, and ended up with a gold medal on position 1. The crowd was stunned. No athletics official knew her or where she came from. The only known fact was that she beat 19 trained athletes who competed in the race. Simwaka earned about $40 in prize money, a gold medal, and tokens of appreciation from well-wishers, including one fan who offered to be her sponsor. She says, in total, I went home with about $90, which I used to buy food for myself and shared some with my parents. I believe it was God who sent me to compete so that I can get some money for my family. Money prizes aside, her success became a ticket to national and international competitions. At this year's Tokyo Olympic Games, Simwaka clocked 11.68 seconds. In the 100 meters, breaking Malawi's national record of 12.25 seconds, which Susan Tengatenga set 12 years ago. Simwaka now has her sights set on next year's Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England. However, Simwaka is concerned her performance could drop if she continues to train in what she describes as Malawi's poor sports facilities. Nzee Magawa, the Deputy General Secretary for the Athletics Association of Malawi, says all is in place to improve performances of the athletes during the upcoming competitions.
We have just applied for Paris 2024 scholarships. We have put up about 6 athletes, which she is included on that list. if she make it, that means from next year she will go in camp outside Malawi for training.
For now, we will keep our eyes on Asmenis Mwaka as she blazes new trails, both on the track and on the football pitch. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. From Malawi, let's go north to Kenya, where another sprinter, Ferdinand Omanyala, earned the title of Africa's fastest man at this year's Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi. Omanyala clocked an African record 9.77 seconds in the men's 100 meters race. In the final part of his conversation with Prince Nesta, Omanyala said he was recently honored by Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta.
It's an honorary, like, something to be recognized as a hero in Kenya. You are heroes. We were around 200 guys selected, but sports, we were selected around 6 or 7 guys. Those were given that heroic label, the country. Mm.
Wow, congratulations. You, of course, you're a world hero, not just Kenyan or African hero. You're a world hero since you're the eighth fastest man. So what are your future plans, though?
Yeah, so going forward, looking forward to the next season. We have the World Indoor Games coming in March, starting in February with some series of events. And then after that, we get to the outdoor season. I'm looking forward to the championships, the Africa, Commonwealth, and the World, but not forgetting the Diamond League Series and the World Continental Tour. So it's a busy season. I'm looking forward to breaking records, to move and travel the world and see different cultures again, and just enjoy and have fun and let people enjoy what you're doing. Like I always say, it is an art, and if you have to put a masterclass, a masterpiece that people will appreciate. Fun is the ultimate thing, but again, record breaking is another thing.
As you have fun at it and as you plan for your future and stuff like that, there are several challenges that you go through. What are some of these challenges that you face, especially being in a highly acclaimed position that you find yourself in?
Yeah, like right now, it's hard to choose the genuine and the not genuine people because so many people are coming in and you can never know how to select who is the genuine or not genuine guy. So that's the biggest challenge. But I pray for wisdom from God so that he can help me guide. He can guide me through this journey. Of course, I have people I've worked with since I started. Those are the real loyal guys. So, but, you know, going forward, you'll meet different corporates, different people. So I pray that these people, God helps me to select the genuine ones and not the genuine ones. This season, I'm glad that I never got any serious injury. The ones I go to took like a week or two sessions of physiotherapy, and they're so I've not experienced any injuries this season. So I'm looking forward to the same season next year, just doing the good pre-season conditioning and strength and conditioning so that it can carry me through the whole of next season.
You talked about corporates. Are you receiving support? How are corporates responding to, you know, your success?
Yeah, they're coming in. Soon we'll announce, and they're coming in. So, you know, they can't just come and then you announce because there are discussions going on. You have to give your terms, they give their terms. So, yeah, there are discussions. There are a couple of discussions ongoing.
I like the sound of that because normally a lot of athletes that I talk to, they always, you know, complain that they're not being funded and stuff. But it's a good thing that, you know, at least corporates are coming to support one of their own talents and stuff like that, which is a good thing. Your family, you have a child, you have a wife. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's another support system that I'm proud of. Yeah. They're really supportive, and they're a reason that I keep going out there and just working hard to ensure that they have a good life and they have a soft life.
How old is your child, and would you want your child to, you know, become an athlete and even better athlete than you are?
Well, of course, it would be my pride and joy to see him run. Yeah. But of course, I'll support him in whatever he wants to do. I can't force him to compete, come and be an athlete, and he doesn't have the passion to do that. So, but I pray that he becomes an athlete.
Beautiful. That would be quite something. Yeah. What do you do during your free time?
I'm a person who watches movies a lot. So, I watch movies a lot when I'm free and sleep.
What's some of your favorite movies?
So long as the movie has a storyline from the beginning to the end, that's a movie I'll watch.
Yeah. How about soccer? Which team do you support in Kenya, in the English Premier League?
I'm not a football fan, sadly.
Wow, incredible. To the young athlete, you know, thinking of running 100 meters or basically competing in different athletic events, and they're listening to you right now, what would you like to tell them?
I can tell them never give up. Life has a way of throwing us up and down, beating us. We get to the ground, you think you'll never get up. But one thing I've learned is that you should never give up in life. If you have a dream to be not even just an athlete, if you have a dream to be whatever you want to be in life, continue chasing that dream. Never drop that dream. Keep that dream alive. And one day you'll realize that this dream is becoming a reality. So never give up in life.
Never give up in life. Yeah. Beautiful message. And of course, you're one of those people actually never gave up on their dreams. And right now, you're reaping the fruits, man. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're making Kenya proud. You're making Africa proud. And very soon, the world is going to see the real Ferdinand Manuela as you break Usain Bolt's record at 9.58 seconds. You're going to take it down to
9.5, whatever, 9.49. Anything.
Oh, man. We are so proud of you and keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man. And he spoke with Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. World Athletics will announce its male and female athlete of the year for 2021 on December 1st. The reigning male athlete of the year is Swedish pole vaulter Armand Duplantis, and he's been nominated again for the award. Duplantis celebrated his 22nd birthday last week, and in August, he celebrated his first Olympic title in Tokyo. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Mondo Duplantis is the current world record holder in the pole vault, both indoors and outdoors, and he's just added a gold medal to his growing list of achievements. He tells Reuters News competing on the Olympic stage was an experience of a lifetime.
The Olympics is the biggest meet in track and field, and by far. And so it's the most important meet of my life to this point. And I guess it would be the most important meet maybe I'll ever have. And, I'm coming in as the favorite. All the pressure was on me. And it was kind of one of these things to where if I wasn't to go in there and win, then it's kind of like almost embarrassing because everybody's been talking to me about it for the past year since it got postponed and I just broke the world record. And so everybody, basically they're just expecting me to go in there and win the gold. And, that's kind of tough because it's still sports and anything can happen and you still have to go out there, you still have to do it.
Duplantis won his gold medal in Tokyo with a winning height of 6 meters 02. And as if the gold medal wasn't enough, that same night, he tried to make history by raising the bar to 6 meters 19, 1 centimeter above his own world record. And he came so close. He tried to clear the bar on 3 attempts, but it wasn't meant to be. However, Duplantis says don't count him out too soon.
The first attempt felt really good. It felt like I was over it. And I thought I was going to be able to make it. I was actually surprised at how high I was over it in the beginning, because I never, you know, got my feet and my hips that high over, you know, a bar that high. It felt like so. It was. I mean, I guess it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to make it, and that I brushed a little bit on the way down on my chest. But it's a huge confidence booster for the future, because I feel like I have a lot of higher heights in store now, and I feel like I can make 6.19, 6.20. I can get into the 20s range. So, you know, it's a big confidence booster. And, you know, it is one of those meets to where at the end of the day, I still did win the Olympic gold. So I couldn't really complain that much, even though I would have loved to break the record. But, you know, the jump itself was a huge confidence booster.
Duplantis' confidence in the sport began while growing up in the U.S. state of Louisiana. He was encouraged by his father, a former pole vaulter from New Orleans and two-time state champion. As a youth, Duplantis spent many summers in his mother's native country, Sweden, and chose to represent her country in Tokyo. And as Duplantis continues to compete internationally for Sweden, he says he wants to do all that he can to elevate the sport.
Win everything there is to win. I want to do it more times than anybody else has done it. But you know, if you know pole vault, if you know the history of pole vault, that's really, really big shoes to fill when you're following the likes of Renaud Lavillenie and Sergei Bubka, people that have won many, many global titles. You know, Bubka winning, I think, 6 or 7 more championship titles, and I haven't even won one yet. So I feel like I still have a really long way to go and a lot of things left for me to achieve. And so it's a really good start right now. My journey, but I think there's still a lot for me to go out there and do.
But Duplantis says winning Olympic gold is his greatest achievement to date.
I mean, I think the world record is definitely comparable, but there's just something about, you know, the Olympic gold medal that's you know, it's just different. It's really special, and nobody can ever take that away from me now. I mean, because you know, of course, I hope to break the world record a couple more times and go higher heights, and you know, whether I have the world record for a long time or it's broken next year, next week, whatever it may be. I don't know, but I mean, you can't take a medal away from me. Records can be broken, but you know, medals stay forever.
As Duplantis says, records can be broken, and his goal is to break his own world record several times in the very near future.
I want to break the world record more times, and I really do want to get into like the 620s. I want to jump 620, and I want to get, you know, because I just think 20 just sounds so good. It sounds so much higher than everything else. And so I think that sounds like kind of a level of its own right there, like into the 20s. And then after that, you know, I mean, I need to win the world championships because I never won the world championships yet. I got second in 2019, of course, to Sam. So, you know, I had the world championships next year. And that's I guess, the biggest goal, especially going into the following year.
Well, we will keep our eye on Olympic champion Mondo Duplantis as he soars to new heights in the sport. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In African Women's Club football, the first ever CAF Women's Champions League trophy will be awarded Friday in Cairo, Egypt. Hasakas Ladies of Ghana will go against Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa in the final at the June 30th stadium in Cairo. Now, the ladies from Ghana have been the highest scoring team in the tournament. They've tallied 10 goals, and half of those goals have been scored by 19-year-old Evelyn Badu. That's right, Evelyn has 5 goals, and she was selected as best player of the group stage by the CAF Women's Champions League Technical Study Group. Hasakas Ladies advanced to the final with 3 wins and a draw. Their opponents on Friday, Mamelodi Sundowns, also advanced to the final with 3 wins and a draw. And with a victory on Friday, Sundowns could be part of some unique football history. Mamelodi Sundowns won the men's CAF Champions League title in 2016. The South African club could become the first team to win both the men's and women's Champions League trophies.
Hello, listeners. By the names, I'm Ikwa Putfazila, Lady Doves FC Club. Then I play for the Crested Crane forward. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African men's football, 10 teams are still in contention for a place at next year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar. After November's qualifying window closed this week, they are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, the reigning African champion, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Ghana, Mali, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia. The teams will be drawn into 5 home and away ties in March 2022, and the winners of those 5 ties will qualify for Qatar. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are bidding for a 7th World Cup appearance. More than a few followers of the Super Eagles have criticized the team's performances during this World Cup qualifying campaign. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with one of those critics, African football analyst Emmanuel Akara.
These days, the Super Eagles are more of a shadow of their illustrious self in the sense that they have been playing poorly. There's no discernible pattern of play. They just wander all over the field like motherless children with no tactical plan in place. Getting a draw simply, I don't know what it tells them during their training. They just stumble from one match to the other. Teams are literally falling over themselves to play them because they know they can get a result from them. Gone are the days when the mere mention of the name Super Eagles used to scare their opponents. These days, the teams struggle. Like the last match we played against Cape Verde, we managed to qualify for the playoffs by the skin of our teeth. And yet we have an array, a wide array of brilliant players. But yet Gennett Rowe cannot use these players intelligently. Intelligently in the sense that playing in a manner that will appease the fans, that will gladden the heart of the fans. Even though we have qualified for the playoffs, only heaven knows how we'll play against the next opponent, because those ones are not going to fold their hands to watch us, because they also want to qualify for the Qatar 2020 World Cup. So the onus is on the authorities to do something.
Some football analysts have called for the sack of Super Eagles coach Gennett Rowe. What's your take on this?
If Gennett Rowe should sack, I won't weep one bit over it, because he has not in any way done anything progressive for our football. If anything, our football is steadily drifting into the doldrums,
I won't outrightly say they should call for his head, but if his head, I mean, should be taken off by the authorities, I mean, it's all well and good for the team. Because right now what we need is for a coach, a tactical coach, to use the players we have right now, because we have a golden generation in the making. What we need is a very astute coach at the end to use these players intelligently, to deploy them in a manner that would overwhelm our opponents. These days, we just struggle. One is beginning to sound like a broken record. We just struggle, and something drastic needs to be done. And if Gennett Rowe is sacked, well, we have better materials in Nigeria who can do the job. Emmanuel Amunike is there, sound coach. Most of these players, he had coached them at the cadet level. He knows them like the back of his hand. If we want to do very well, I mean, at the World Cup, if we qualify, we need a better coach. We just don't want to go there to make up the numbers. If they sack him, well, that's his problem.
In the alternative, what should be done to improve the team ahead of the African Cup of Nations tournament scheduled for Cameroon and final playoffs of the 2022 FIFA World Cup scheduled for March next year?
The only alternative is to get better hands to work with Kenneth Rowe if he cannot be sacked because of the contractual obligations. And I think Salisu, the coach that was recently reinstated to the team, I hear he's a good tactician. Kenneth Rowe should work closely with him, should work closely with Joseph Yobo, should know how to make changes, to read matches, change the dimension of a game. It should be eclectic in the tactical disposition. It should just not be rigid. It should work closely with his Nigerian assistants. If we cannot sack him, that's the only way forward for us right now.
Which Super Eagles have stood out during this World Cup qualifying campaign?
In terms of performance, the players have given a very good account of themselves. In spite of the poor quality of instruction from the technical bench, players have done well. And Victor Osimhen, if you ask me to, you know, pick a player, especially in the match against Cape Verde, he did a yeoman's job, and I think he's my outstanding player so far. And if we should qualify for the World Cup, he will surely do well. And other players in that team are on the threshold of doing very well. We just need a good coach, a good tactician, a good man manager to polish this rough diamond into a finished product.
That's African football analyst Emmanuel Okara. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African boxing, it looks like Congolese fighter Ilunga Makabu could trade punches with maybe the biggest name in the sport, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez. At this week's World Boxing Council convention in Mexico City, the WBC approved a request from Canelo's trainer and manager, Eddie Reynoso, to have Canelo challenge Makabu for the WBC Cruiserweight Championship. Now, Canelo has never competed at Cruiserweight, so Reynoso needed to petition the WBC to order the title fight, which is expected to take place in May or June of 2022. The 34-year-old Makabu won the vacant WBC Cruiserweight title on January 31st, 2020, when he defeated Poland's Michael Cieslak in Kinshasa. If Canelo were to beat Makabu, he would become a 5-division world champion. Makabu is based in Johannesburg, and he's excited about the prospect of fighting Canelo. Makabu says, and I quote, "I feel very happy because I'll be fighting the best boxer on the planet. Canelo has been beating everyone, but now he's fighting one tough man." Tough man. Makabu has a professional record of 28 wins and 2 losses with 25 knockouts. Canelo has 57 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. Earlier this month, Canelo stopped American Caleb Plant in the 11th round to become the undisputed world super middleweight champion. And that wraps up the November 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.